So we're going to be reading Psalm 5, verse 1 to 3. Okay, I'll read verse 1, then you read verse 2, then we'll all read verse 3. Okay, as if, after that we'll be praying. Psalm 5, verse 1. This psalm is actually dedicated to this person called the chief musician. He's the nameless. Okay, but after I give you an introduction. Psalm 5 verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Verse 2. Verse 3, together. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning, I will lift my prayer unto thee and will look up. Oh, let's just pray first. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, the quietness of this place. We thank you, Lord, for the rest we could have. I know some of us may be too cold, but yet, Lord, we thank you still that we can sleep and then get up again. We thank you for life. Lord, the fact that we are alive today means, Lord, that there is a purpose that you want us to accomplish today. We know every day, Father, is a time of remembering you and what you have for us. Lord, it's not about enjoying ourselves. It's about serving a great God who loves us. Oh, Lord, help us to understand life is in your hands. And Lord, every day when we live, we have to give our lives to you, Lord, because you have a purpose as our master to allow us to live another day. Father, we pray that thy Holy Spirit will teach us in Psalm 5 from David, Lord. Help us to see his heart and help us to have the same heart. We pray this morning that you speak to us before we pray. God, you encourage our hearts to seek you more often, Lord. To put away what we think and put away our own desires, to put away our own wants in this life, and Father, to direct our prayer to you. We will thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, this psalm is written by David. Okay, this is a very important psalm because it was written by David in one of the lowest points of his life. Okay, David was actually on the run because not King Saul wanting to kill him, his own son was against him. Remember Absalom? Absalom? Who knows? Who remember Absalom? Absalom was one of David's son. Yeah, okay, but before that, okay, Absalom and King David's relationship wasn't very good. Okay, Absalom actually wanted King David to accept him, but because of Absalom did something that was bad, King David refused to accept him. Although halfway, he allowed him to come back, but King David didn't want Absalom to come back into the house. That created bitterness in Absalom's heart. And so Absalom, after a while, began to rebel against King David. And King David had to run. Because everyone, and Absalom was very smart. He actually worked the ground to get sympathy from the people to the point that they were prepared to fight for Absalom. And so King David had to run. This psalm was written at one of the lowest points of King David's life. That he had to run away from his own son who wanted to kill him. There were a group of people who were still loyal to him, the Levites. The Levites were the people in charge of the temple. Okay? And the Levites were the one who praised God and who were supposed to do the service of God. And one of the reasons perhaps why this psalm is dedicated to the chief musician is because the Levites were still on his side to encourage him through song. Okay, so in this particular psalm, the title of this psalm is actually David asking God to hear his prayer. You know, it's one thing to pray. How many of us are confident every time we pray, God will hear us? The Bible does say that God will hear us, okay, because we are his children. If we are genuinely his children, God hears every prayer. Whether we are in sin or not. If you are God's child, God will hear your prayer. Just like even our own children, when they do wrong and they cry, we will still hear. Why? Because we care for them. Okay? Like the song we sang, there's no shepherd of love. He cared that we've gone astray. And God cares for us. But you know, sometimes when we pray, how confident are we? God on His part will hear us. Yeah? But how confident are we that God hears us? Now, that's a question we must answer ourselves, because only you yourself know. But still, the psalmist David here, in the lowest point of his life, is asking God to hear him, okay? And so in verse 1, he says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." 3 points in these 3 verses. Number 1, notice our quiet prayer. Our quiet prayer. He says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation." 2 things he's asking God to do. Hear my words. He's asking God, "Lord, hear my words. Hear, Lord, what I'm saying. Hear what I'm bringing out to you." You know, words mean a lot. There are 2 types of conversation we all can have. One type is the, "How are you?" "I'm fine." "Ah, very sleepy." Or the standard one. Another level of conversation is, "You know, I really feel very terrible." Can you sense a difference in the tone? Difference in the... Oh, careful, I think you're drinking. There's a difference in conversation when one person says, "Oh, I'm very hungry." "Yeah, I'm so hungry." "Hey, you are. Oh, your hair very nice, huh?" The kind of conversation we all do, right? "Wow, you're very round today." Or, "Wow, you eat a lot, huh?" Or, "You like noodles, huh?" Or, that kind of conversation is very, what we call, superficial. Right? You go to school. "Hey, how are you?" "Ah, no lah, the bus slow lah. MRT no good lah. Or very hot in MRT lah." So that kind of conversation. But no, there's another level of conversation whereby you actually share what is in your heart. "Oh, it's very terrible yesterday because, you know, I just feel terrible because of my schoolwork and the teacher scolded me. And I really feel very bad. He shouldn't be scolding me. But, you know, yeah, I did wrong also." And there's another level. You know, King David doesn't deal with superficialities, meaning that he doesn't just talk. Some people like to talk on the first level. You know why? They don't ever want people to know what's inside their heart. But can I encourage you, when we pray, we can go down to the second level with God. Do you know what I mean? You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? We can go down the second level with God. Say, "God, I'm feeling very terrible because so and so did this to me. And Lord, it hurts so much." You can go down to, and the words that you use, God can understand. So King David, firstly, our choir prayer, "Hear my words." You don't have to shout, you don't have to scream. Sometimes in prayer, we can't even say anything. But you know, we can ask God to hear my words, number 1. Under quiet prayer, number 2, consider my meditation. The quietness. Sometimes when you think, some people, when they think, they only think their own thoughts. You know what I mean? So they'll sit down, they'll look, and then they'll think, and then at the end of thinking, they get angry. You know why? Because sometimes when we think about things, or have you ever, I see this in church service sometimes, when I'm preaching on a very serious topic, about sin and all that, suddenly one person will just, one person will just smile, and say, yeah, as I was preaching, I said, "What in the world is he laughing? This is so serious." I don't know, there are 2 types of things. One is this person will think about something funny related, okay, that's fine, but the worst thing that really get me is when 2 persons are talking and they are laughing and preaching a serious message. Sometimes there was one time with the teens that I actually scolded them. Okay? No, but this, the Bible talks about consider my meditation. The word consider means give some understanding to what I'm thinking. Lord, think about what I'm thinking. We can pray quietly. And that's what Psalmist David says. Okay, number 1. Number 2, our urgent prayer. Because in verse 2, he says, "Hear the voice of my cry." David was urgent with his prayer. you know, asking God firstly to hear my prayer. Then David goes on to saying, Lord, this is urgent. He begins to let God know the importance to it. How important are our prayer? The voice of my cry. It is said, I think I've read somewhere, it is said that God doesn't hear us until we really cry. Okay? And when our children cry to us, we run very fast. I think I still remember. I say it again. There was one time, I was reading a newspaper in the hall, and suddenly one of my children screamed in the toilet. Ah! Don't know what happened. You know, so I ran. When my child cried, I dropped the paper and ran. You know. So I thought, what happened? What happened? Papa got lizard. It's like, okay. Why you laugh? So, not supposed to say. You cannot say. But anyway. But you know what? When our children cry, we run. You know what David says? Lord, hear the voice of my cry. You know, when we talk to God, sometimes we cry from our hearts, but God can hear that. You know, we need to be urgent. And I believe sometimes God doesn't hear our prayer because we're not urgent about it. Not urgent. We don't cry. And the more we cry, remember the... Let's turn to Matthew 15. If we want God to hear our prayer, we need to be urgent. Let's turn to Matthew 15, verse 21. The woman whom Jesus heard. Okay, in verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Matthew 15, 21. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. Matthew 15 and verse 22 now. A woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him. What did he cry? Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. The Bible says in verse 23, but he answered her not a word. Why did Jesus, was Jesus so heartless? Why did Jesus not answer this woman? Why? Anyone? Why did Jesus... I thought God always hear our prayer, right? But why did Jesus not answer this woman? Okay. Look at verse 24. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Verse 24. Jesus answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The reason why Jesus did not hear this woman was because she is not a Jew. And Jesus is supposed to minister to the Jews during that time. That's not to mean that God is being biased. But the Lord Jesus' first priority was to his own people, the Jews. That's why when the woman of Canaan, okay, remember Canaan is, okay, Tyre and Sidon is just outside of Israel. And so Jesus says, no, I'm not going to listen to you. Okay? At that time, I'm not going to listen to you. But notice what happened. Then came she and worshipped and said, Lord, help me. Number one, she cried to God. Christ in here. Number two, she came down and then she threw herself at God's, and the Lord, help me. The word worship has to do with worship. You know, reverence. Said, Lord, please help me. But in verse 26, Jesus continued, to say, no, he says, it is not suitable, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. I cannot take my own children's, the Jews, what I'm supposed to give to the Jews, to give to you. So, in verse 23, she was rejected the first time, right? Then in verse 25, she was rejected a second time. In verse 26, she was rejected another time. After he said, Lord, help me, what did Jesus say? Verse 26. It is not suitable to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He was rejected the third time. You know what she did in verse 27? You know how quickly as Christians we discourage because we don't hear. I've heard this many times. I pray also no use one. Huh? I pray also no use one. You know why no use? Because you didn't persevere. Because in verse 27, notice the woman, and she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." You know what the woman was really... The prayer request was so urgent to the lady that she was willing to go down to the lowest. If it means me being a dog to hear for me to get what I need, I'll do it. Her daughter was vexed with a devil, and this lady was willing to beg God to the point that she, "Lord, you call me a dog, that's fine, but Lord, help me." You know, what does that show? Jesus tells us in verse 28, "Woman, great is your faith. You believe me so much that even though my mission is different, even though you are willing to go down to so low, but because even though you are not a Jew, but because of your great faith in me, I'll help you." This is one of the most powerful passages on a person who believed Jesus. The Calvinists, the Reformers, those people will say, "Oh, God elect will be saved. The Jews who got elect, the Gentiles will not." But this is a powerful passage to show us, whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. When this woman prays great faith to the point she was ready to humble herself. You know, her prayer was so urgent that she begged God, even though she was rejected so many times. Many Christians give up. Can I encourage you? Don't ever give up in your prayer. Don't ever give up in your prayer. Don't say, "No use one." How many times? You know why we say no use? It's actually, when we say it's no use praying, you know why? Because we oftentimes selfishly want to see results. And the reason for that is because we live by sight, not by faith. Faith believes that God will give in God's timing, but our job is to keep on praying. Sight says, "I pray, you better give me now." Okay? But coming back to Psalm 5, we need to have urgency in our prayer. We need to be urgent. Our parents' salvation is urgent. We need to carry that in our hearts every day. Our friends' salvation is urgent. We need to carry that. That means everywhere we go, we will pray. Our children's soul, our children's... every moment of the day, we need to be whispering prayer to God. "God, help so and so." You know, you will keep begging God until you actually see fruit. A good example is my mom. You know, for the last 17 years, from 1997, she made a profession of faith. But it was last few months, early in the year, I believe, a few months before, I was thinking, cannot be that you're a Christian, or you profess to be a Christian, but there's nothing coming out of your life. There's no fruit, there's no evidence that you love God. There's no evidence that you want to study the Bible. There's no evidence. Yeah, you say you're a Christian, but there's no evidence that when people look at you, they see that you're a Christian. You're not doing good things. Maybe you should go to church. You go to church. And my mom has been coming to a church on and off for years. But cannot be, you go to church so long, no change. Behavior the same. Loving the same things. They're doing what we want. I was thinking, God, cannot be that. And so I started praying. And it was only the last few months that, she said, "I want to be baptized." I said, "Whoa, what happened here? You've been praying." And I'm sure my wife has been faithfully praying and we have been praying. And right now, every Saturday, she will not resist on. Every Saturday, me and her Bible study. She'll go word by word. Yeah, she likes to learn English also. But she'll say, "What does this mean?" When I explain to her the salvation, now I understand. Then when I went to Genesis 1, she would write down the verses. There is a love for God's word. And evidence of a genuine Christian is you love God's word. Okay? It's so important. But you know what? We need to urgently pray for our loved ones. And after that, as we wait, God will answer our prayer. But you know, we have to keep on praying. And can I suggest and encourage us, pray. And in our hearts, we need to love God. So there must be, you cannot be, you say you're a Christian, but no change. It's the same of the world, then you might as well not be a Christian, you might as well just join the world. And some people go to church, and I say, I go to church, listen. When we have that attitude, that means we don't love God's word. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. You want to hear God's word, okay? You want. So in Psalm 5, number 1, the quiet prayer. Number 2, the urgent prayer. And number 3, our morning prayer. This is very interesting, because the Bible says in verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. Not in the evening, in the morning. In the Jewish time, there's two times of sacrifices. In the morning and the evening. Let's turn to Numbers, chapter 28. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The fourth book of the Bible. Numbers, chapter 28, and verse 4. Okay, let's read that together. Ready? Numbers 28, verse 4. Numbers 28, verse 4. Okay, ready? 1, 2, begin. The one lamb shalt thou offer in the morning, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at even. Okay, so when David says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning, he has the idea of the Jewish sacrificial system. In the morning, they will give a lamb. Okay, that has the idea. Usually in sacrifice time, if you understand a bit of sacrifices, before the sacrifice is given, they must always pray. Alright? So one in the morning, one in the evening. So in this situation, David is saying, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. That has to do with the sacrifice. In other words, in the morning, Lord, I'll give my sacrifice of prayer. I'll give my sacrifice to you. The reason why it is said is a sacrifice, because in the morning will I direct my prayer. The word direct my prayer means, I have the idea of arrangement. Just as the Levites arrange, you know, before our service, what do we do in church? In the service, we have to make sure the songs are ready, make sure the computer and the song leader and the person doing the computer is synced together, there's arrangement. You make sure the pianist have practiced already, okay? And you make sure that the song sheets are there, the words are okay. We prepare our hearts before we actually lead the worship. Okay? That's what David means, preparing for the worship. The word direct my prayer means preparing for the worship. Okay? And then in directing prayer, notice the last part. I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. What does and will look up mean? The word and will look up simply means, Lord, as I prepare my quiet meditation, my quiet prayer, as I urgently pray, as I give you my prayer early in the morning, I will look up. The word look up means you are my expectation. I don't pray without expectation. Can I say this? You know, some of you, I've heard, I think my children, or some people, when they pray, they have actually I always pray at the end of my prayer, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. It's not, you know, some people will pray certain prayer because it's a repetition. For me, Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do. It is a statement of expectation. God, I want to thank you in advance what is going to happen. Does that make sense? Lord, I thank you in advance. The word and will look up means my expectation. Lord, I'm praying, I'm urgently praying, I'm quietly praying, and I'm praying with sacrifice, and I'm praying in the morning. Why? Because, Lord, I'm expecting you to do something. A Christian who prays without expectation, you're wasting your time. Really, you're wasting your time. Why? Because God is going to look at you.